There's a mental health hotline you can call. When you call it, you'll hear this. Hello, this is the mental health hotline. If you're obsessive compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you're codependent, ask someone to press 2 for you. For multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, 6. For those that are paranoid, we know who you are and what you want. Stay on the line, we'll trace your call. If you're delusional, press 7 and your call will be transferred to the mothership. We hear a lot about identity today in our society. Identity crisis is a psychological term. It literally means a time in one's life when a quest begins to define who you are, who they are. For adolescents, that's a big time, a time to define what they'll be. Now, there's a search today for identity. It seems like everyone is in a search. The dilemma of personal identity was illustrated by an incident in the life of the famous German philosopher Schleiermacher. How you like that name? Schleiermacher, I guess. He did much to shape the progress of modern thought. And the story is told that one day, as an old man, he was sitting alone on a bench in a city park. A police officer, thinking that he was a vagrant, came over and shook him and asked, "Who are you?" And Schleiermacher replied sadly, "I wish I knew." The truth is, our identity is vital to doing what we're made and what we're called to do. You have to know your identity. Brother Phil so easily and carefully expressed to us tonight that he says, "I need to know I'm a missionary to Ireland." I'm glad you're a missionary to Ireland. I texted your dad while you were speaking. I know you're not supposed to text in church, but the pastor was sitting right next to me and he let me do it. And I said, "I'm proud of your son." And certainly our missionary is going to China, and our missionary is going to the deaf in Africa, and the other missionaries printing the Bible. And thank God for all the missionaries. They need to know what they're called to do. And that identity, that very important part of knowing who you are and what you're supposed to do, helps direct you to follow God's will in your life. It's not politically correct to lay emphasis on identity today. Some believe that if we identify ourselves, we might offend others. And to tell you the truth and to just get it off my chest, I'm really sick of all that. It's so pithy. It's so surface. It's so absolutely, may I say, immature. It's a sad thing and a terrible thing. But because of that, we're now blurring the lines more and more of that which is good and that which is bad. Because we have diminished identity, and is there, if I move this thing back, I'm afraid I'm going to trip over it. Because we've diminished identity and blurred those lines, we're losing our way. Every one of us in this room could probably honestly say, "I love America." Can you say it tonight? "I love America." I love America. I really do. We've got a son in Afghanistan tonight, and I'll tell you something. I don't want him there, but he's there. He signed the dotted line, raised his right hand. We were there, weren't we, honey, when he promised to defend the Constitution of the United States. He works on an airstrip, works with airmen in the Air Force, and he's there, and I love America. But you know, there's a positive and a negative to everything that you love. For example, America. Even though I love America and I identify myself as an American, there are a lot of negative and bad sides to our country. America leads the world in pornography. 89% of all the internet websites are United States origin. Over 225,000 sites, 260 new pornographic sites every day, 89% of them emanating from the land of the free and the home of the brave. Even though that's the case, I still identify with the flag. Stay with me. I'm trying to illustrate a thought here. Even though there are bad things, and even though there's some things that I don't agree with and don't appreciate, I still am glad to tell you I'm a red-blooded, flag-waving, GM-driving American. Can I hear an amen? Amen? I love my flag. I love my country. You see, our culture and where we are as Americans, we're seeing more and more a blurring of the lines, and we're seeing less and less identification. I like to identify with veterans. Personally, I have tremendous respect for people, men and women alike, who served, and to give them the honor due them. Amen. They got nothing. They just served and they gave, and thank God for that. I like to identify with buses and bus routes. I happily identify with the bus ministry. If I weren't the pastor of the Central Valley Baptist Church, we have 6 bus routes. We bring in about 300 kids every week into our church. If I weren't the pastor, I'd be a bus driver or I'd be a bus captain. I like to identify with the bus ministry. May I say, thank God this church has a bus ministry. Say amen. Let's keep at it. Let's keep that identity. I like missionaries. I like identifying with missionaries. And I'm sitting over here thinking tonight about, man, if God would call me, I'd be a missionary. I love missions and I love missionaries. And I appreciate all that these things that make us what we are. All these things about this church make the Loomis Park Baptist Church what it is. We identify with buildings. This building is a beautiful identity of this group of people. People, when you say, I go to Loomis Park, sometimes they might think the old church downtown. But most people think this place, that this is your identity. And that's why I'm so thankful. It's a beautiful building. Can I hear an amen? The grounds are beautiful, and we try to do things well, and we should. That's our identity. It's a very important part of our church, the identity. And then we have Sunday school, and praise God for Sunday school, and junior churches and nurseries, and praise God we're men so we don't have to work in the nursery. No blurring of the lines there, amen? And we identify as independent, fundamental Baptists. That's what we are. We're independent. We're not part of a denomination. There's no headquarters or mothership that we're attached to. And we're fundamental. We hold to the basic truths of the eternal Word of God. We believe the Bible. We identify with the truths of this book, the Old Testament and the New. We believe in dispensational theology. We believe in the imminent return of Christ. We identify with the truths of fundamentalism. We hold fast to the Word of God. I'm happy to identify that way. We identify as Baptist Church, independent, fundamental Baptist Church. We're Baptist because that's what the Bible makes us. We're not Baptist because we subscribe to some man's creed, but the book makes us Baptists because we hold to this book. And so I'm happy to identify it. We are happy to identify it. And thank God for identification. Now the scripture tonight brings us to categories that identify us. We understand the Bible teaches that there are saved and lost people. Saved and lost people. Now, saved people are those that put their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You can be a Lutheran and be saved. You can be a non-churchgoer and be saved. I will say this, if you're saved, you won't stay long away from the Church of Jesus Christ. You'll be drawn into fellowship. And so saved is not anything to do with a church building, but it's an acceptance by faith in what Jesus did for us. Saved and lost. What makes someone lost? They reject the gift of God. Being lost doesn't mean they swear. Being lost doesn't mean they smoke cigarettes. Being lost doesn't mean they drink liquor or go to the clubs. Being lost means they've not said yes to the gift of God. Only one thing sends people to hell. It's rejecting Jesus Christ. Abortion doesn't send them there. Murder doesn't send them there. Smoking doesn't send them there, although they smell like they've been there. But it doesn't put people in hell. It's rejecting of Christ. And on the other side, accepting Christ is what saves someone. And you become identified. You become identified as a saved and lost. To the saved that are here, listen. There are also categories that identify us also as Christians. There are spiritual Christians and there are carnal Christians. A spiritual Christian and a carnal Christian. So what generally places a person into category, what makes someone a carnal Christian, or what makes someone a spiritual Christian, what makes someone a saved person, what makes someone an unsaved person, comes down to a simple thing I preached about last night. I'm not going to preach it again, but I reference it. It is commitment. Commitment. Whatever you commit to makes you what you are. You become identified by what you commit to. If you commit to the spiritual things, you become spiritual. If you commit to carnal things, you remain carnal. You see, commitment is a vital part of Christianity and a vital part of our identity. For example, I think about veterans again. Veterans are committed to vet causes. You can identify a NASCAR man because of what he's committed to. NASCAR racing. You see, people commit, and then you become identified by what you're committed to. So we've established thus far that there are lost people and saved people. There are spiritual people and carnal people. And a lost man is committed to himself. A saved man is committed to Christ. And commitment, I'm getting to the message now, stay with me. Commitment manifests itself in several ways. And I want to address those tonight out of the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, I find three manifestations, if you will, or identities of committed people. Now, I believe that I'm preaching to God's children tonight. Can I hear an amen? We've come here all this week and we've talked about faith and we've talked about faithfulness. We've talked about God working in our lives and us committing to His plan. But I want to speak tonight about our identity and how we are identified as a committed people. Let's begin in the scripture, chapter 4, if you're there. Let's look at verse number 1 to start with. It says in verse 1 of chapter 4, Ephesians, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now listen to me, you are not your own, you're bought with a price. We are to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are the Lord. Say amen. So we've all been called. Every one of us have been enlisted and called into the Lord's work. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Now, there's some identification that takes place, but there are characteristics that make that identification. Write this down if you're writing notes. How we manifest what we are committed to and what identifies us is by thinking differently. Once you commit yourself to the cause of Christ, and once you begin to manifest yourself in that commitment by identifying yourself, you'll find that you'll be thinking differently. The Bible places tremendous emphasis upon thought. Let's look at several scriptures. Look at verse 17. It says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Notice next, having their understanding darkened. And then it says blindness of heart. Look at verse 20. But ye have not so learned what we learn in the mind. Learn Christ, verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Do you see that there? Emphasis here on thought. When we speak of categories or identities, what comes up first is the examination of our thinking. The Bible has a lot to say about thinking. Would you go to Romans chapter 8, please? Turn left, go a few blocks from Ephesians, and you'll see in Romans chapter 8, verse number 5, I'll start reading. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So here we have a spiritual mind and a carnal mind. When we identify ourselves as Christians, when we commit to the cause that God has called us to, it will affect our thinking. World evangelism, for example. I don't know about you, but I really don't know a lot about Africa. I remember learning in geography and all the studies of the different, but the truth is, if you told me Tanzania, I can't really place it. It's down there. And, you know, Victoria Falls and all that's about Africa. I don't really have a particular interest in Africa tonight. I'm interested in Jackson. I'm interested in Manteca, California. I'm interested in the San Joaquin Valley where I live. I'm interested in New England. I'm interested in different places. But when I understand from a missionary that God has called that person to that land, immediately my heart is drawn to that place because my thinking is now spiritual. My mind is beginning to consume spiritual qualities versus my own personal qualities. Let's look at another scripture. Go to Ephesians now and then pass it. Go one more block and you'll come to Philippians chapter number 2. Here the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you read verses 6 through 8, we find there that theological term, the kenosis, that is that Jesus emptied himself and took upon him the form of a servant. So here's what I learned from that. We won't study that. But in order for me to think right, I have to empty myself. I have to empty myself of prejudice. I have to empty myself of presupposition. I have to empty myself of my own opinions and allow God to give me proper thinking. I'll tell you something. I understand the immigration issue in America. I understand the things that are going on in our country. But I'll tell you something. I think we Christians need to be sternly rebuked about our thinking about Muslim people. They need Christ. Folks, listen to me. If we send in the Navy SEALs to do whatever they're going to do over there and protect our country, thank God for that. But ultimately, the answer is not the Navy SEALs. The answer is the lovely Lord Jesus. That He would get in and cleanse that people of paganism, that they might trust Christ. You see, I've got to empty myself of some prejudice. Be honest with yourself. I have to admit to you that that's a battle, and I know it is with you as well. Psalm 119, verse 59. I don't have time to go there, but jot it down. I'm talking about our thinking. Our thinking or our walking by faith does not mean we park our brains in neutral, but rather we think correctly, the adverb correctly. That is, oh God, help me get proper thinking about this thing of missions. I must be very open to the Holy Spirit about my thinking. You see, if we walk by sight, well, I'm not going to give another nickel because I need all the money I can get. I can't afford to, listen to me, we're still paying nearly $4 a gallon of gas, and it looks like you're getting up there too. And the truth is we're 10.25 tax on everything we buy. And Mr. Moonbeam Brown, our governor, he's not a happy guy about free market. He's not the happiest guy about making people free. I'll tell you something. Sometimes mission conferences are absolutely insanity when you look at the load that we're carrying. Wait a minute. That's what I'm going to call spiritually stinking thinking. Hello? Spiritually stinking thinking. God help us walk by faith. Did you know if you're not walking by faith tonight, you are not pleasing God? You could have the gospel music lined up the wall, have 25 King James Bibles, have memory verses, but if you're not walking by faith, you're not pleasing God. It's impossible to please Him outside of faith. Here's what our prayer ought to be. God, increase my faith. Give me faith. Give me challenge for my faith. It starts in this thinking. I'm telling you, every one of us in this room must recognize the importance of thinking correctly. Because when we think correctly, when we process our mind, our thoughts correctly, it begins to manifest itself in our commitment. It all works together. You know, there's some enemies of correct thinking. Enemies of correct thinking. If I took a poll tonight, everyone in this room probably start off and say, well, the world system, the worldly thinking is an enemy of spiritual thinking. The thinking from the world's material level and material view and the materialism of this world, it's an enemy of correct thinking. Sinful system, the world's sinful system is another non-complementive system of thinking that diminishes spiritual thinking. And the principles of this world system converse to Bible truth. You know what we need to do? We need to insist on correct thinking. Our thinking is this. I am committed to Christ. I am committed to Christ. Number two, I belong to Christ. And number three, I will identify with Christ in whatsoever He tells me to do. You see, that begins to identify us. But number two, I want you to see, first of all, thinking differently. But notice number two in chapter 4 of Ephesians. Could you go back there, please? And I know what time it is. I know we're all a little tired. But if you amen me once in a while, I'll get done quicker. So I knew that was coming. Look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. There's an interesting verse there. And here's what I want to talk about in that verse. This verse speaks about our feeling. Look at verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Now I'm going to put the positive on it. The negative is the feeling of evil and dark and sin. We'll get to that in a minute. But here's what God wants. He wants us identified by feeling differently. Feeling differently. First, thinking differently, and now feeling differently. Did you know as a Christian, we need to develop a sensitivity to sin in our lives? And it needs to bother us. Uh, I I was thinking about my wife and her allergies. She's been suffered with allergies, and she's just real sensitive. Whatever's flying around in the air here, and she's got a sensitivity to that. Same as a man's hands. You know, it's interesting when you work, you develop a callus, and you can take some abuse on your hands. You can take it. I think sometimes we Christians, we get callous to sin, and it doesn't affect us. What we need to do as Christians with our thinking and then our feeling, we need to say, God, is there anything in me that might cause you some concern? Anything in you, God, anything in me that might cause you some concern? We have a new feeling about stuff like this. A feeling about, I want to please the Lord. And I'll tell you something, we don't put a lot of emphasis on feelings, but I will tell you this, when you think right, you'll feel right. You'll feel right. And missionaries that come and go and we support and we help. I'll tell you what, it just feels good. I was talking about the brother that writes the mission checks each week, each month. Man, that must feel good to write those mission checks. $100, send that right out. Send that right out. You know what? When we give our cards on Sunday and place those cards in that globe, I've never seen this done. I can't wait to see it. But I'll tell you something. I know I'm going to feel good about that. How about it, church? It's going to feel good to see people placing those cards in. And I mean everyone being part. Oh, listen to me. Feelings come when we do right. And I'm talking about right feelings. See, feelings often don't correspond with the facts. Our feelings confuse us. But when we think right, no matter what's going on in the feeling department, we're going to be identified as faithful and loving the Lord and doing His pronounced will. Our feelings can come and go. Circumstances can come and go, but thank God for His unchanging hand. Amen, church? So we find, first of all, we think differently. We feel differently. Let me end with this third thing, and I'll bring it to a close in just a minute. What results in verses 20 through 24 is that our identity produces acting differently. So thinking differently, feeling differently, and acting differently. Verses 20 through 24, we won't read it again, but it talks about how we put off the former conversation. You see that word in verse number 19, lasciviousness. That means this undesire, no desire to cover sin, not even to deal with sin. We'll just let sin be plain. But see, when we're Christians, we don't want to sin. And we don't want to have things in our lives that might not agree with our identity as Christians. Acting differently. Oh, may God help us as Christians have spiritual minds, spiritual pursuits, and a desire and a passion to live and love the Lord. You see, this comes to us by three ways. Number one, by being taught in Christ. You see, you cannot truly trust the Lord until you know the Lord. And the more you know the Lord, you trust the Lord. And folks, I challenge you, get close to Jesus Christ. Get to know Him personally. Walk with Him and talk with Him in prayer and in Bible study. And in doing that, oh, how God's identity breaks out on us. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, you see in just a couple pages over verse 10, it says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the key to missions, the key to serving God and the key to being faithful in our commitment and in our identity is Christ. It's all about Jesus. This is not about this church. This is not about Brother Tharp going to Ireland or Brother Stewart going to Africa. This is about Christ. And Lord, what would You teach me to do? What would You show me to do? Because the truth is, down the road, if He's the cause, if He's the motivator, He too will be the sustainer of what we commit to Him. Taught in Christ, taught by Christ, and then finally taught after God to be like Him. You see, when this takes place in the mind, our action or our deeds begin to mimic Him. Commitment in the end is the work to our identity. When we commit, we then identify. And so we're committing ourselves to missions giving. We're going to commit. Now let's identify by filling a card out and saying, I'm going to be part of this thing. I'll identify myself as one of the many faithful in this church. They're going to be part of the mission program of Loomis Park Baptist Church. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you something. There's coming a day Jesus is going to return. It won't be long. I really believe it's going to be in my lifetime. I don't know about you, but I hope He comes. I want to be with my family when he comes. Amen. I know this, when I get on the other side, I'm going to see my wife, my children. I'm going to see my mother and dad. I'm going to see my loved ones that have gone on before. But most of all, we're going to see Jesus. Amen. Amen. And I want him to come and find me faithful. I want him to find me faithful so much so that I'm identified as one of his servants. And you know what? I'm no different than you. I need to be faithful. I need to commit. I need to make up my mind. I need to get my feelings in order. And then I need to make certain that I'm acting right so that Satan has no opposition against me. I'd ask you, if you would, bow your heads with me. Our heads are bowed. And